Welcome to the Razors Inc. podcast with your host, Jonathan Farini. As the year comes to an end, if one were to examine the dawn of episodic TV, you wouldn't have to venture too far from two seminal TV shows that captured the nation's attention with innocent, though not perfect, portrayals of suburban America, ultimately setting the stage for the turbulent 60s. So pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear Jonathan's take on movies, television, and today, a more innocent time for the situation comedy. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
I was born in 1958, my first experience with black and white television, beamed into the house with rabbit ears, were two 30-minute comedy episodic series.
Leave It to Beaver.
Eddie Haspel from Leave It to Beaver and Maynard G. Krebs from The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis are both iconic sidekicks who challenged the conformity of the 1950s sitcoms, both oddly airing on the Tiffany Network, CBS.
Wait a minute, kid. You're not going to be a little squealer, are you?
Well, you're the one that did.
Yeah, but if you go around squealing on guys, nobody's gonna like you.
Is that why nobody likes you, Eddie?
Shut up, fat boy.
Eddie Haskell was played by Ken Osman on Leave It to Beaver, which ran between 1957 and 1963, six seasons and 234 episodes.
Maynard, I have here a bill from the telephone company. Now, do you remember of making a telephone call on Saturday the 18th?
I don't know, Dad. I make lots of calls.
I've got to give you that. But this happens to be a special telephone call, Maynard. It's long distance. But come on, think, son, think.
I got it. I called Diz.
Diz who?
Dizzy Gillespie. There ain't no others, man.
I don't know. Would you mind telling me why you called Dizzy Gillespie?
Oh, I had to, Dad. I mean, when I heard that new album, I flipped like my whole skull.
But tell me, why did you talk to him so long?
It wasn't so long. In fact, it was pretty short, like 10 seconds. He hung up on me. I think he was sore because I woke him.
What time did you call him?
7 o'clock.
In the morning?
No, at night.
And he was still asleep?
Well, it wasn't 7 o'clock at night there.
Where?
Where this was playing. Copenhagen.
Maynard G. Krebs was played by Bob Denver. You'll know him from Gilligan's Island. On The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, which ran between 1959 and 1963, four seasons and 147 episodes. What was the importance to American television about these two characters? Well, they were mirrors of American society, reflecting different types of youthful rebellion against the prevailing social norms of the 50s. Eddie Haskell created this enduring, quote, Eddie Haskell effect, unquote, known in popular culture, where the Eddie Haskell effect was used to describe a two-faced, flattering to authorities individual. But he exposed the deceptive side lurking just beneath the placid surface of idyllic suburban life, showcasing that not everyone was as wholesome as they appeared.
When I watch the episodes of Leave It to Beaver, particularly those involving Eddie and Mrs. Cleaver, virtually every interaction between the two involves a platitude expressed by Eddie to Mrs. Cleaver, particularly about her appearance. I can't help but wonder if Eddie was imagining the term MILF. Judge for yourself.
Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, that's a nice dress.
I know, Eddie. I know.
Do you think I look all right, Mrs. Cleaver?
Why, yes, you look very nice.
Thank you.
Smell quite nice, too.
Oh, that's my aftershave lotion.
Why, Eddie, do you shave?
No, but I like to smell like I do.
Pretty sneaky of those writers and producers for the time, don't you say? I do. Well done. Joe Connolly and Bob Mosier, a writing team, created Leave It to Beaver. Maynard G. Krebs became a cultural icon representing the emerging counterculture of the early 60s. His character brought the beatnik stereotype to mainstream audiences, providing a voice for a more bohemian, nonconformist lifestyle. I contend Krebs was a warm-up for the cynical, psychedelic post-assassination and Vietnam half of the 60s, appearing in about 1966. Max Schulman created Dobie Gillis, adapting it from his own short stories. Here's the point. Eddie Haskell and Maynard G. Krebs each represented a different form of rebellion against the status quo. Both characters emerged from a similar historical moment, but their different approaches to rebellion resonated with distinct parts of the audience and reflected different societal trends. For instance, Eddie Haskell critiqued the shallowness of suburban life by exposing the hypocrisy of those who outwardly conformed. Maynard G. Krebs introduced mainstream America to the concept of the counterculture. The show really normalized the idea of rejecting conventional life and helped transition the counterculture from the fringe to the mainstream.
Hi, Maynard.
Hey, Big Daddy.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm like beat, man.
Hey, Maynard, what's that on your chin?
Can't you tell, man? It's like a beard.
Yeah, it is kind of like a beard.
Yeah. What are you going to do? We're the beat generation.
Both characters, in their own unique ways, proved that the facade of perfect 1950s conformity was already cracking, laying the groundwork for the more overt rebellion that would define the next decade. Memorable episodes featuring Eddie Haskell were memorable for showcasing a rarely seen vulnerable side to his conniving persona. In these episodes, his tough guy facade drops and are often cited as fan favorites. Season 4, episode 26, Eddie Spends the Night. This is regarded as one of the most memorable Eddie Haskell episodes. Eddie spends the night at the Cleavers, and a checkers game turns into a fight with Wally, and Eddie is sent home, but when he's called by his father, the Cleavers and Wally learn that the real reason Eddie wanted to stay over, he was lonely and afraid of being alone in his house.
Hey, Eddie.
Yeah?
How come you made up all that junk?
What junk?
About your father being home last night.
What do you know about it?
Everybody knows about it. The whole thing was just a big fake on account you were afraid to stay home alone. Well, it's not so bad to be afraid. I get afraid sometimes, too.
Well, it's not that I was afraid. It's just that, well, I feel kind of weird when I gotta be anyplace by myself.
Gee, Eddie. I didn't know you ever felt weird about anything.
Yeah, Beaver. When I'm around other people, I can act like a big shot and get away with it.
Yeah, you're real good at that.
Yeah, but it's not good in life for a guy to act like a big shot to himself.
Yeah. I guess even a creep's got to have friends.
It provides a raw look at Eddie's underbelly, showing that beneath his slick wise guy exterior is a vulnerable kid who deeply wants to be liked. The ending includes an uncharacteristically honest conversation between Eddie and Beaver. Eddie's Girl, Season 2, Episode 5. This is another early episode that shows a more insecure side of Eddie. Eddie boasts about having a wealthy, high-society girlfriend who goes to a boarding school. Wally becomes suspicious when they visit her, and it becomes clear that Eddie barely knows her.
Well, it was awfully nice meeting you, Wally.
Yeah. It was, nice meeting you, too, Callum.
I hope I see you again.
Sure.
Goodbye, Callum.
Goodbye.
Eddie Haskell. Well, Wally, what did you think of my girl?
Well, she's all right, I guess. She kind of talks a lot, though.
That was pretty funny.
What?
Her make her believe she didn't recognize me.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
This episode highlights how much Eddie wants to be perceived as a big shot. It provides a poignant reminder of his deep-seated insecurities. These episodes reveal glimpses into Eddie's vulnerability, insecurities, and loneliness, transforming him from a one-dimensional antagonist into a more nuanced and sympathetic character. Memorable episodes, including Maynard G. Krebs, included, "I Didn't Raise My Boy to Be a Soldier, Sailor, or Marine." In this season 2 episode, Dobie and Maynard accidentally enlist in the Army.
Who do you want to see?
Well, I came to visit Maynard Krebs. He said it'd be all right after he finished his basic training.
Ah, yes, Krebs, Maynard G. Splendid soldier, splendid.
Maynard G. Krebs?
Yes, we've made him an acting corporal, you know.
Maynard G. Krebs?
Yes, he's got the best squad in the outfit. Look over there, you'll see him about to drill a squad now.
Squad! Like who?
I contend you're beginning to see the underpinnings which would cause the public to turn against the Vietnam War in this episode. The man who came to dinner. Maynard meets a prehistoric man.
Excuse me for barging in like this, your Indian ship, but I didn't know nobody was home. My name is Krebs, Maynard G.
Ugh.
That's your name, Ugg? Ugg who?
Ugg.
Oh, I dig. Ugg, Ugg, huh? I mean, it's like Walla Walla or Simone Simone or Hildegard.
Ugg. Krebs.
I'm thinking of the 1968 Guess Who's Coming to Dinner starring Sidney Poitier. So what happened to these actors? Ken Osmond became a policeman with the LAPD. Ponder his role in front of the camera and behind the badge, if you will. Do you think Eddie Haskell ever showed inside the black and white? Bob Denver went on to play in Gilligan's Island, then a slew of reunion shows, never really shaking the Gilligan role. Later in life, he and his wife hosted a small FM radio station, and they played oldie music. Maynard resurfaces. Right on. Until I see you next time, please leave behind a soft footprint and always remember the following.
Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, you sure do look nice.
Work, work.
Class is dismissed.
And because episodic TV was still in its infancy, bear in mind that there were almost 240 episodes of Leave It to Beaver over 6 seasons, and almost 150 episodes of Dobie Gillis over 4. That's almost 40 episodes per season. Compare that to today's 13 per season, if you're lucky. But often we're seeing no more than 6 to 8. Get off my lawn. You've been listening to the Razor's Ink Podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at jonathanfarini.com. And because we're releasing this podcast at Christmas time, look for 2 of Jonathan's short stories tied to Christmas. First, Cracked Windshield, in which mirrors meld the future and the past for a traveler following the pale yellow line at Christmas. Look for Cracked Windshield, published by the Seattle Star at seattlestar.net. Second, I'll Be Late to the Christmas Party, an unconventional Christmas story in which 3 disparate strangers share wisdom and find commonalities as they rush to a Christmas party. Published by Modern Literature, look for I'll Be Late to the Christmas Party at modernliterature.org or at jonathanfarini.com. You can also drop an email anytime to razorsincpodcast@gmail.com. And on behalf of Jonathan, we want to thank you for listening and pass along our best wishes this holiday season.